Hi, this is Newt. Due to the virus, I'm recording from home, so you may notice a difference in audio quality. On this episode of Newt's World, this is our third in a series I'm calling The Honest Election Chronicles, where we are going state by state, looking at how voting irregularities occur in our elections. In Wisconsin, the race between President Trump and Vice President Biden is very close. The margin was 20,508 votes out of 3,240,738 votes cast. They're now undergoing a recount in two key Wisconsin counties, Milwaukee and Dane, which includes Madison. My guest understands Wisconsin politics inside and out, and I'm really pleased to welcome him, Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party. I am pleased to welcome my guest, Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, certainly one of the states that has been most in play and has, I think, maybe the most complicated story. The Trump campaign just filed a request for a recount of two Wisconsin counties, Milwaukee, which includes the city of Milwaukee, and Dane, which includes the city of Madison. And these two counties are a huge part of the Democratic Party in the state. So let me ask you, Andrew, first of all, let me say thank you in the middle of everything you're doing as chairman for taking the time to explain to the rest of us exactly what's going on in your state.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Why did the party focus on those two counties and not the whole state?
Well, if you look at what is going on in Wisconsin, it started to become clear that in those two counties, this is where the most egregious instances have occurred. And there are really three challenges that are going on here. The first is in those counties, especially, the clerks corrected absentee ballot envelopes if things were missing. This is contrary to state statute. They are not allowed to do this. But the Wisconsin Elections Commission even said you can do it based on personal knowledge or Googling if you see somebody who has an address missing or something missing on their envelope. And we think that brings substantial opportunity for fraud. The second is in these counties, they did not require absentee ballot applications to be filled out for somebody who voted absentee in person. In Wisconsin, we don't have early vote. We simply have absentee by mail, or you can absentee in person, both of which require an absentee ballot application. Now, we think this may have happened elsewhere in the state, but it is most egregious here in Milwaukee and Dane County, where they had huge, huge numbers of absentee voting going on. This is also clearly contrary to state statute, and there's actually a Wisconsin Court of Appeals opinion on point that says they have to fill out an absentee ballot application if they vote in person absentee. And the third area is under a portion of Wisconsin law, if you are indefinitely confined, you don't have to submit your photo ID when you request an absentee ballot. And Madison and Milwaukee clerks in the run-up to the April 7th, our spring election, said that everybody was indefinitely confined because of COVID-19, and therefore nobody had to provide a photo ID. We actually previously sued on this and got a temporary injunction currently in the Wisconsin Supreme Court for a remedy. We have evidence of people who claim to be indefinitely confined, but then were out at protests and out doing other things that clearly they were not indefinitely confined.
How many people would you guess come under the indefinitely confined group?
So before April 7th, before COVID, there were about 70,000 people in Wisconsin that were on the indefinitely confined list. Between this time period of that April election and November 3rd, that number swelled to 240,000 people on the indefinite confined list. interestingly enough, 25,000 of those people didn't vote in any of the last four general elections in Wisconsin. So they are not people who regularly vote and maybe perhaps have a ID on file and it just got missed. So those numbers are obviously gigantic when you consider that right now the president is losing Wisconsin by about 20,000 votes.
I saw that there were three times as many people over 90 years of age voting in Wisconsin this year. I don't know if that had come across your desk.
Yeah, I have not come across that. I will say that we definitely did have historic turnout in Wisconsin. Interestingly, though, we didn't have historic turnout in the city of Milwaukee. The Black community, the Hispanic community was pretty flat for Joe Biden, but the outer parts of the city of Milwaukee and the outer portions of Milwaukee County came out substantially in favor of Joe Biden. But across the state, we saw historic turnout.
How will the recount itself be handled?
So in Wisconsin, in order to bring forward any challenge to an election, you have to go through this very defined process. It starts with a canvass, which is basically checking the math, making sure that the number of ballots match the people who signed the poll book, make sure that there were no tabulation errors, that 363 votes is 363 and not 636 and a number got transposed. That's the first step that we completed this Tuesday. The president filed a petition for recount, and we will begin that process. As we go through that process, we will obviously recount the ballots, but this is also where we bring forward the objections that I talked about earlier, those three objections. And those objections will be adjudicated by the Board of Canvassers, and they will decide whether they grant or deny. Regardless of whether or not they agree, this will become the subject, likely, of a court case that will be filed sometime either during this recount or at the end of the recount.
Well, I was very struck. I read several articles on the role of the Wisconsin Election Commission, which my impression is that they just blatantly ignored court orders.
That's right. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has disregarded the law. They have disregarded the plain language of the law and provided guidance documents for a number of years. This dates back a while now. This action that the president is taking, whether he is successful in his election in Wisconsin or not, to his credit, he is helping fix these issues that have been plaguing us and hurt Governor Walker's reelection. We have to take a stand and say that the law is the law, and we can no longer continue to go forward with them just sort of making it up as they go. And we saw that in one of the most egregious ways when they tried to pull this emergency meeting and change the recount manual at the last minute.
This was the meeting on Wednesday, November 18th?
That's right. So over the weekend, we learned that they were considering a meeting, but then they had actually decided that they didn't need a meeting and they were just going to move forward with the staff. So you can imagine if the staff would have just changed the recount manual on their own and not brought it forward to a meeting, we would have never been able to actually stop it like we did on Wednesday night. Thankfully, two of our commissioners insisted that there be a meeting. The meeting was noticed on Tuesday, 24 hours in advance, but it wasn't until Wednesday afternoon, 3 or 4 hours before the meeting was about to begin, that the Elections Commission staff unexpectedly sent out a revised recount manual to the Elections Commissioners. There's 3 Republican commissioners, 3 Democrat commissioners. They sent this 38-page manual out without any red line changes, no track changes. So in just a few hours, these commissioners are supposed to have memorized the 2018 version and be able to compare it to the changes made in 2020. We got it to our legal team immediately. Of course, really focused in on the areas that the president is focused on, and quickly realized that they were changing portions of the recount manual that would make these objections that the president just put on the record at 11 a.m. in his petition, they would make these objections either more difficult or in most cases impossible to make. So in effect, they're trying to change the rules of the game after the president filed his petition and after the president paid $3 million for a recount to occur in both Dane County and Milwaukee County.
First of all, if the commission is three Democrats and three Republicans, why does it seem to be so consistently biased in favor of the Democrats?
That is in large part because the staff for years took so many liberties with how they operated. Now, the current commissioners have really pulled that back, and there was significant delegation of authority that past commissioners had given to the staff. And in the last year and a half to 2 years, that has been significantly curtailed. But the culture there is really a culture of we will do what we want. We will do whatever we think the law is, really, in some instances, regardless of what the plain black letter law says. And so it is that culture that is there. It is that past guidance. Some of these guidance that they are really putting forward is guidance that's been out there for, in some cases, 4 years. But we are really just seeing new members of this commission be very proactive to try to get this under control. One of those is Commissioner Spindell, who did a phenomenal job on Wednesday night in making sure that these changes would not go forward. Dean Knutson, also a commissioner, also really led the charge to ensure that these didn't go forward.
Who appoints the commissioners?
So the two Democrat commissioners are appointed by, at this time, minority Democrat leaders in the state house, and two of them are appointed by the majority leaders in the state house. And then the other two members are pulled from a pool that are gubernatorial appointments.
And who puts the Republicans into the pool?
Those are put forward in that pool, and you have to pick from a Republican pool and a Democrat pool. In this case, former Governor Walker would have appointed Marge Besselman, who is the other Republican member, and she is a former Republican clerk in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, clerks are actually a partisan election. They're either a Democrat clerk or a Republican clerk.
This is Gianno Caldwell. This week on Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell, I talked to someone who you've probably seen on TV, Lisa Boof. Lisa is a prominent journalist, political analyst, and commentator who's currently a Fox News contributor and senior fellow for the Independent Women's Voice. We discussed the crazy aftermath of the 2020 election and how politicians have used COVID-19 to seize power and attack religion, especially in New York. Listen to Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell every Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I read a report that there was one particular change that the commission imposed, which is such a clear violation of state law, they could actually affect 200,000 ballots by the way they had decided to do something. Historically, Wisconsin's reputation is a very clean state. And it's almost as though the tension and the fighting over Governor Walker and then just how close the recent fights have been has made the state much more partisan, at least in my memory of it.
Historically, it has been a clean state and clean elections. And, you know, interestingly, these challenges are not like some of the concerns or challenges that maybe we saw or are seeing in Philadelphia unfold or Detroit unfold. These are instances of a state agency that has a past practice of disregarding plain language of the statute and taking liberties with it. And one of the things that really has been unfolding in Wisconsin over the last several years is how much power state agencies have and how much power a governor can delegate to a state agency, how much power ultimately the legislature actually delegates to state agencies. We've seen that kind of play out in our laws that are being developed. There was one that Governor Walker put forward, known as Act 21, that really reined in state agencies and said you only have the power to act if you have explicit statutory authority, as opposed to relying on vague opening statements of a statute to derive your authority. We've seen it in court cases that have gone through and really have dealt with this delegation of authority. So it is a somewhat boring, quiet issue that really has been developing, I would say, over the last 15 years here in Wisconsin. And we're really seeing it kind of boil over now this year.
In the court cases that have been tried over the last few years, when the Election Commission clearly violates state law, have the courts reimposed the state law, or have they been tolerant of the commission's interpretations?
It really has been a mix. There has been some success in court cases, but in others, there has been reliance of courts to not grant relief on some technicalities, such as there is just no time to decide. That really happened in the Green Party case this year, where the Green Party tried to get on the Wisconsin ballot. The person on the ballot had a change of address while they were going through this process. So some of the nomination papers were under the old address of this person, and some of the nomination papers were of the new address. The Elections Commission decided that they were only going to count one of those addresses. And really, the Green Party should have been on the ballot here in Wisconsin, but was kept off by the commission. The commission voted 3-3 on whether to put them on the ballot. And in a very bizarre twist of our Wisconsin Elections Commission law, when there isn't a prior decision or a prior document or guidance or policy out there, when the commission ties 3-3, it goes back to the staff for decision. So in this case, it's very troubling because the commission can't decide and is deadlocked whether or not a candidate can actually be on the ballot. And because they're deadlocked, it goes to unelected bureaucrats to make that decision. Those unelected bureaucrats in that case made the decision to not allow the Green Party on the ballot. This case was taken to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, but because some of the ballots had already been printed, although they weren't able to confirm that any ballots were sent to any voter, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, we're not going to decide this case. We're not going to take it. It's simply too late. Ballots have been printed, which is unfortunate. It is contrary to some past court cases and practice, and actually contrary to the statute, which specifically says if ballots are printed and there is an error, it specifically delineates and lays out how you fix that and how you reprint the ballots even after they've already been in the voters' hands.
This was significant because wasn't the Green Party the margin by which Hillary lost 4 years ago?
Right. The Green Party, Jill Stein in 2016, got around 35,000 votes. And that obviously is greater than the 20,000 that at this time the president is losing by. It's also greater than what the president in 2016 won by. He won by about 22,500 votes here in Wisconsin in 2016.
What was happening down ballot in Wisconsin? Could you sense a blue tide, or what was going on?
There isn't a blue tide, actually. So in Wisconsin, all of our incumbent congressional members were reelected, and they actually were reelected and got more votes in their district than President Trump did. In the state Senate, we picked up two seats, and we're one seat away from supermajority status. In the Wisconsin Assembly, we were three seats away from supermajority status. Unfortunately, we did lose two seats in the Milwaukee suburb areas close to Milwaukee, but really count that more as a victory because the Democrats here in Wisconsin spent an enormous amount of money on these assembly races, spending close to $400,000 to $800,000 in some of these assembly races, spending almost $1 million in some of these state Senate races. And all they could show for it was losing two Senate races that we were able to pick up and claiming two seats in the assembly. We still are within five seats away from supermajority status in the Wisconsin Assembly. As a party here in Wisconsin, we really see from this election how we win locally, how we win regionally. We do need to focus on how to win statewide. We obviously lost the Governor Walker race. We won a state Supreme Court race in between there, but then subsequently this year lost a Supreme Court race and then currently losing the race for the presidency.
What are you hearing from poll watchers and observers in terms of what they thought they observed?
That's sort of some of the interesting things about this recount is there are some specific objections that are being made that wouldn't necessarily be caught on election day while you're going through the process. But we did have problems in a number of locations. I mean, in Milwaukee County, during the day at the central count location where they count the absentee ballots and process them, we had to buy binoculars for our election day observers because they were not allowed to get close enough. Usually we work with the election officials to try to work things out. We do have a new clerk in Milwaukee that we're still really developing that relationship with. But there were issues like that occurred. We worked through a number of issues on election day. I would say kind of one-off issues that we had to work through. But having to buy binoculars so somebody can try to observe, which is just so inferior because it's not though you're going to be able to see whether or not the initials are proper or whether or not specific things on those absentee ballot envelopes are proper by using binoculars from a distance.
Some of the things just struck me as wild. You have to have a voter ID to vote unless you're indefinitely confirmed, but they must have had thousands of people who clearly should have been showing up with their voter ID who chose this camouflage in a way that has to be sort of illegal, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think it was March of this year when those clerks in Madison and Milwaukee claimed that everybody was indefinitely confined because of COVID. We went immediately to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But the damage that those clerks did, you know, it wasn't just that they told their voters in Madison and Milwaukee this egregious, clearly contrary to state law that everybody is indefinitely confined. It wasn't that they just told their voters. We have 1,850 municipal clerks in Wisconsin, and they took the action to send it out to all of those. So we had people all over the state of Wisconsin selecting this indefinite confinement improperly. And so we immediately went to the state Supreme Court, and this is a case that was decided very quickly because, quite frankly, it is a case that a first-year law student could figure out. The law clearly was not on their side. They clearly were in violation of the law. We very, very quickly got a temporary injunction. And in September, at the end of September, we went to oral argument in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I was hopeful that we might see an order right after that oral argument that would give a remedy such that perhaps everybody who signed up indefinitely confined this year has to re-up it now with the understanding that COVID doesn't automatically make you indefinitely confined. We didn't get that order. We're still actually at this time waiting for the opinion from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And now that issue obviously is going to come back before them much quicker during this recount and the likely legal case that arises out of the recount for the president.
Do Do you have any sense of, among the thousands and thousands of people who said that they were indefinitely confined, do you have any evidence of how many of those actually are not legal voters? Because it strikes me, I mean, that the biggest advantage of claiming that is you don't have to show an ID.
Right. We're still working to uncover that. And it is not the easiest thing to uncover because it is such a subjective standard. But what we want to do is find out how many of these people don't have a photo ID at all. How many of these people, I think it's very interesting that 25,000 of them haven't voted in the last four general elections here in Wisconsin. It makes me really question why they decided now to vote when they don't have to show a photo ID.
You don't think they were inspired by the charisma of the Biden campaign?
I don't. You know, in Madison, Wisconsin, the inspiration for Joe Biden was actually a bus that they sent around the Capitol Square that literally said, "Settle for Biden." That was the extent of their enthusiasm.
The Wisconsin Election Commission, if I remember correctly, also just plain refused to remove voters from the rolls who were no longer eligible to stay on the rolls. And I think this was a direct rejection of a court order. Do I have that right?
They did refuse to do that. We prevailed in the circuit court and got a order that said you need to take these people off the rolls and then decline to issue a stay of his ruling. The Democrats appealed that to the state Supreme Court. Unfortunately, despite the fact that we have a 4-3 generally conservative majority, we didn't prevail in that case. The fourth justice demurred and really found a way to not decide the case. And that's unfortunate because these are tens of thousands of people who shouldn't be on the rolls. And our principal argument against going vote by mail here in Wisconsin was simply that our voter rolls aren't prepared for it. They are a mess. And even our executive director of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, even she said that there was no way we could do vote by mail in Wisconsin. We aren't ready for it. And in part, we're not ready for it because our voter rolls are a mess. They are filled with people that shouldn't be on there. They're filled with people that are not at the right address. And that needs to be cleaned up. One of the things that's going to occur after this recount is an audit. And as I said before, we have very solid, clear majorities, almost super majorities in our assembly and our Senate. Both of those have oversight of elections. They have committees that have oversight of elections and the Elections Commission. I have been talking to legislative leaders. I've been talking to the committee chairs. And we are going to see a number of things brought forward in this audit process. One of those is going to be how much of a mess our voter rolls are and what we need to do to clean it up. Of course, you know, we don't control the governor's office, but we want to bring these forward and put pressure on, because I think when the people of Wisconsin understand some of the issues that are there, they will demand not only that Republicans help clean this up, but that Democrat Governor Tony Evers step up to the plate and actually clean this up so that there is, once again, confidence in our election system here in Wisconsin.
Are you able, as part of the recount, to check to see whether or not who should have been purged, whether any of them actually voted?
Yes, there will be, and that will be done through the audit committee process.
As you know, the national media is desperate for Trump to concede. Do you think it's a legitimate service for the president to insist on this kind of an accurate recount and surfacing the various legal questions? Or do you think that it strains the system to continue to keep this open this long?
I can really only speak to Wisconsin. That's what I know. And I know that in Wisconsin, he is following the process to the letter of the law, has not gone outside that process. Some people have wondered, what's going on here? Why aren't we doing anything? And that's because the president is following the process. He's following the rule of law. We first had to go through the canvass. He then submitted his petition for recount. He paid the $3 million. And now we are going through that process. We've identified to everybody in a very transparent way the three objections that we're going to make. Everything from President Trump and his campaign here in Wisconsin is very transparent about what we're doing and where we're going. I think it's going to build confidence in the system and then the election by going through this. If we have a court case, that too will be clearly played out in court, very transparent. I don't have those concerns here in Wisconsin because of the process that the president is following and the team he has brought in here. Jim Troupas, former judge here in Wisconsin, has done several recounts. He's very competent, excellent lawyer. And so I think we've got a good team and following the process to the letter of the law. And that should really give confidence in the electoral system.
So one last question, because you've been at this a good while. And as you remember, that I've had a long relationship going all the way back to Tommy Thompson's first convention when he first ran for governor, and then through Reince Priebus' years. In 2016, I remember Calista and I were in Wisconsin going to visit her relatives at Stevens Point from White House. We were driving through rural Wisconsin, and we ended up on the Saturday before the election calling Reince and saying, you know, it just felt like there was a tide building for Trump, particularly in rural Wisconsin. On election day, were you optimistic about carrying the state, or what was your sense of the campaign at that point?
I knew it was going to be extremely close. It's hard to kind of feel 20,000 votes, right? You've been through lots of elections and lots of races. We knew it was a razor close race. These public polls, the ABC poll that said the president was down by 17 points in Wisconsin, we knew it was ludicrous. We were looking at our data. We were looking at our modeling. We knew that if this election were held in September in Wisconsin, the president would have won. He dipped a little bit at the end of September, early October. He was kind of moving back, trying to gain that lead again. And it was really a question of whether or not there was enough time to recapture the lead. And that's what we were watching. That's what we were up against. We had all the energy. We had all the momentum. We have the biggest field program we ever had in the history of presidential politics here in Wisconsin. We knocked on over 2 million doors, which is about 2 million more than the Democrats knocked on, because they actually never came back after COVID. We went virtual until about mid-June, but after mid-June, we were back on the doors doing events, talking to people, meeting people where they are, talking about issues that they care about, and the Democrats were hiding in their houses. And so we really felt like this was a race that could be won, but we knew it was going to be close. And right now, we're obviously just a little short, but I'm still hopeful that through this process, one, the legal votes are counted and the votes that are not legally cast are excluded, the president will actually have won Wisconsin.
I want to thank you personally for being so involved as a citizen and for working so hard to get at the truth. We'll find out presently whether that means the president carried it or failed, but at least we'll know that we went through a process that was legitimate, Andrew, and one where you played a key role. So thank you very, very much for chatting with us today, and thank you for the work you're continuing to do in Wisconsin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate that very much. Thank you for having me on and covering this very, very important story in a very important state.
Thank you to my guest, Andrew Hitt. You can read more about the Wisconsin presidential election and the recount on our show page at newtsworld.com. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers. Our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penland. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. Please email me with your questions at gingrich360.com/questions. I'll answer a selection of questions in future episodes. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.
This episode of Newt's World was originally recorded on Friday, November 20th. Since then, the results of the Wisconsin election recount in Milwaukee County have been published and can be found on our show page at newtsworld.com. The Dane County election recount results are due out shortly.